Tadinho. Again, we thank you for this time of giving. We pray that what we present to you this morning would be pleasing in your sight. We pray that you would use this offering to the furtherance of thy kingdom, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is my season for grace, for favor. This is my season to reap what I have sowed. This is my season for grace, for favor. Amen. This is my season to reap what I have sowed. Amen. This is my season. This is my season for grace,
for favor.
This is my season to reap. Amen. See, I haven't been perfect, but I sure have been faithful. You see, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know He's able. You see, I've got a seed in the ground. And it's for blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing. It is my seed for grace,
for
favor.
It is my season
to reap. Amen. It is my season for grace,
for favor.
It is my season
to reap.
Can I say it one more time? See, I haven't been perfect, but I sure have been faithful. You see, God's got a purpose. Yes, and I know He's able. Cause see, I've got a seed in the ground. And it's for blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground. And I'm knowing and showing it in my seed
for grace,
for favor,
for favor.
It is my season.
It is my season.
To reap. I need you to listen. Everything
working together for my good.
Everything is working.
Everything is working together
for my good.
My good.
And it's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's working. It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's real good.
It's good.
It's working.
It's working.
This is my season for grace. Amen.
For favor.
It is my season.
It is my season.
To reap.
To reap what I have sown.
One more time. It is my season. For grace,
for grace,
for favor,
for favor.
It is my season,
it is my season,
to reap,
to reap what I have.
Amen. I've got a seed in the ground, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground, and it's for blessings. I've got a seed in the ground.
Amen.
O Lord our God, how great thou art. Great with your creative powers. For in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. How great you are in your restorative powers. You lead us by the still waters, and you restore our soul. How great you are in your plans for our future. For you have declared that I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. And so, Lord, we are thankful for the dying of Christ Jesus for our sins, and for the resurrection of Christ for our justification. We need your help. We need your presence. We need your power. You have declared that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. You have declared that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. And so we pray, precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on and let me stand. Thank you again for your goodness to the children of men. Help us this day to preach like never before. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah. Our text today comes from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. Let me share with you the words of Nehemiah as he shares with us his experience and his experiences with God and with those who prayed for his downfall, those who did not want to see him succeed in the work that God had given him to do. Does that sound familiar to you? There are those who live to try to ensure that God's work is not done, is not completed as the way God would have it to be completed. I find Nehemiah writing these words to us in that ninth verse. And Nehemiah in Israel, the priests, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. All the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he, Nehemiah, said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here's a man who writes to the people of God to share with them that the plan that he is working and the thing that he is doing is not of himself, it is of his God. Thank you for standing in the presence of God. Nehemiah finds himself in captivity. He finds himself in Shushan, in the palace of the king. He is a trusted agent of the king because he bears the king's wine. He brings to the king daily, or whenever the king chose to drink his wine. He is in a trusted position because he had to taste the wine to make sure that there was no poison in the cup. Help me, somebody. And so he had to bring the wine after tasting the wine and after not dropping dead to the king. He comes before the king And usually he's joyful. Can I help somebody here? Even when the world has you down, you can be joyful. You can joy in the Lord because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He finds himself bearing the king's wine in captivity, comes before the king with a sorrowful face. It is not prudent to come before the king with a sorrowful face. But he's heard bad news from Jerusalem. He has found that Jerusalem, when he asked the question of one who had come from Jerusalem, he asked him, how is the city? How are the graves of my foreparents? The word is that the graves are in disarray. The walls to the city, they've been torn down. And the gates to the city, they have been burned. It's a sorrowful thing when that you love has been destroyed. It's a sad thing when parents leave wealth to their children, house, homes, and the children think little of it, and then let it become not useful, and then turn and sell it till we buy ugly houses. I'm speaking from experience here. Let the house fall down. Somebody come in, it's an $80,000, $85,000 house that mother and father have spent their lives paying for and making it something of value to the community, and you let it fall down and then turn and sell it till we buy ugly houses for $16,000. They take it, throw some paint on it, redo the roof, and sell it in the same community for $95,000. And then you say, brother, can you loan me a dime? Well, the answer is hell no. The answer is no. Father's house in ruin. Mother's grave in ruin. You are remain a remnant in the city. Others have been taken away in captivity. And yet, we sit and watch things deteriorate rather than using God and trusting God, the God of our salvation, to help us, to give us strength. Can I say something to Second Baptist today? Do not be afraid to trust God. No matter what situation you find yourself in, don't be afraid to trust God. Loved ones gone, person that you love have left you. Children no longer respect you. But can I tell you something? You can still trust God. You can trust God to bring you out of a bad situation. When the storms of life come, don't be afraid to trust God. I've noticed that God is closest to us and most powerful with us when we are hurting. Maybe it's because we are more open to God when we are down and out. Can I help somebody here? Nehemiah, rejoicing in the face of the king, but got bad news. And he came before the king as he was, sad. He didn't put on a happy face. When you're troubled, it's all right to be sad. When you're hurting, it's all right for your hurt to be displaced, to be placed, displayed in your face. I don't know about you, but I get tired of folk who act like ain't nothing wrong. Ain't nothing wrong. Just lost my job. Nothing wrong. House is being foreclosed, but nothing wrong. Can I say something to you? Act like something is wrong. Act like you're hurting. If you act like you're hurting, maybe somebody will help you. We don't like that. We like fake it till you make it. Fake it like till you make it. Well, what if you never make it? He said, he comes before the king. King take notice of his sadness and said, why are you with a sorrowful face? And then he can tell him, I got news from back home. Things are not well back home. And if it pleases the king, would you allow me to take leave and go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? Help me, somebody. I can relate to your sadness if you share your experience with me. And so the Bible says that the king and the queen, read it, it's there, seated beside him, gives him leave to go. But before he goes, he asks for another favor. Can I help somebody today? When you obey God, no matter what favors you need, God would put someone in your place to grant you the favors that you need. Can I tell you something? I was not an honor student coming out of Bishop College. I guess I played around too much. Cheerleaders look too good. Y'all catch it in a minute. Mr. Lee, Dr. Lee, my math teacher, midterm, he gave me an F. I went to see him because in that day you could go see your instructors. I went to see him and I didn't go with a happy face. I went with tears coming down my cheek. I said, Dr. Lee, why you give me an F? He said, I didn't give you an F, Mr. Jimson. You made it F. I said, what can I do to bring it up to at least a D? He said, you have to study harder than you're studying. And you have to make sure your figures are right when you take the test. That was when I went home to tell Big Mama that I may be coming home sooner than anticipated. And I said, Big Mama, would you pray for me? She said, Robert, you can trust God. God put you in that classroom. God will see you through. I went back, prayed to God. At the end of the semester, I got a C. Not an F, not a D or C. And I remembered that Big Mama said, God will see you through. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. Whatever you're going through, whatever state of life you find yourself in, you can trust God to get you through it. Yes, for favor of a letter. As he passed through the different countries, the different cities, he showed the letter. But he asked for another letter, and that they would be granted wood to rebuild the walls and the gates. We find him now in Jerusalem. comes with his beasts. He comes with his ride. No one is with him. He appears in the city. He gathers up those who are in leadership of the city and asks them to help him rebuild the walls. Can I say something to Second Baptist? Sometimes you have to ask for help. Oh. Sometimes we can't make it all by ourselves. We have to ask somebody for help. And if you don't ask anybody else, ask God for help. Trust him. Lord, it's me, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. He asks for help. And whenever you ask God for help, God will give it to you. You may remember Thomas Dorsey, the great hymn writer, the great gospel writer. He was a musician in the world, played blues and soul music. He was not in the church. He had what the young folk call a gig or a party. He had a party in Missouri. So he left. His wife was pregnant. This was their only child to be. He left Chicago to go to Missouri to play in a gig. And while he was playing the music that made people dance, the music that made people happy and laugh, filled with laughter, someone slipped him a note. He read the note and it said, "Your wife is dead, and your child also." Folded the note up, slipped it in his pocket, finished the performance, hurried back home, got back home, discovered that the message was true. All that he loved was gone. He then said, "I can't trust God to take care of my family. I can't trust God with my unborn child." Sit down at a piano. Something moved in his heart. Something moved in his fingers. And he began to play music and put words to the music. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand." Is there anybody here that thought that God did not love them? But when you took time to meditate and to think about the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the compassion of God, you said to him, "Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me on and let me stand." Nehemiah got a group of people together. And they start working on the walls. They start building up the gates, 12 gates to the city. They repaired all the gates. But while they are trying to repair the gates, here comes the enemy. Whenever you try to do something right, and whenever you try to do something for God, you can count on Satan, you can count on the devil showing up, and you can count on his imps showing up too. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they come. First they laughed at them. "What these little feeble Jews going to do? They can't build up the walls. If they do, a fox can run under and it'll come tumbling down. Can I help us black folk? Do you not know that whatever you do for Christ will last? Whatever you do for Christ will last." They were laughing at them. But guess what? I think I hear Nehemiah saying, laugh on. I trust in God. Whatever my lot may be, I give God glory and praise for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. They laughed him. And then they got ready to fight him. There are some folk, you trying to live for Christ, and they have their weapons to fight you. Criticism. He ain't no good. She worse than he is. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just like the daddy. Daddy wasn't nothing. Mama wasn't nothing. He and she ain't gonna be nothing either. But I stop by to tell you, when the world think you won't be anything, you just remember what God did for you. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if Christ could die for a sinner, you ought to be able to stand up and say, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, ever dying soul to save, and fit it for the sky. But guess what? Nehemiah must have had some of us in him. He went and got his sword, had folk marching around the wall with their sword ready to fight. Can I tell you something? Sometimes we have to fight the world with the weapons that they use. If they want to talk about us, talk about the world. Just tell them, say, hey, you no good either. Who told you you were perfect? Who told you that you God? You not God. You not even a servant of God, but I am a servant of God. And since I'm a servant of God, I obey the will of God. And I do the will of God. They had their swords and they were ready to fight too. But guess what? God is a God of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So they didn't have to use their weapons. Their weapon that they used was prayer and praise of God. Look at what it says here. It says that when the man of God stood before the people of God and read the word of God, it's there in that 8th chapter, and I'm almost through. In verse 2, it says, and Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. He reads the word of God. And it says in that fifth verse of Nehemiah chapter 8, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Hey, now you see why you stand up when the word of God has been written. It has been read. It says, and all the people of God stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen. I didn't make this up here. Those of you who can't say amen, it says right here. Maybe I need to get you to read that one Sunday. And all the people answered, amen, amen. And with lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's how we worship God. We worship God by standing when his word is read. We worship God by saying, amen, amen, with lifted up hands, and we bow our heads in reverence and worship of the Almighty God. Don't be afraid to trust God. Secondly, do not be afraid to celebrate life. Listen to these words and see if you can figure out who might have said them. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of losing your health, fear of losing your mind, fear of being taken too seriously, fear of not being taken seriously enough, fear that you worry too much, fear that you don't worry enough, your mother's fear that you'll never marry, your father's fear that you will marry, fear of the unknown, forget it, fear of too many roads and not enough time, maybe. But go ahead, put one foot in front of the other, and just do it. Who you think said that? The great preacher Billy Graham? The great liberator Martin Luther King Jr.? Mother Teresa? Former President Barack Obama? A preacher? A psychiatrist? None of these. Actually, the words are from a Nike commercial. The words have nothing to do with athletic shoes. The writer of the words knew that fear is real. Nehemiah did not fear the people. And he did not fear the people because he had God on his side. We are fearful people. And that many people today are so fear frozen that they forget to seize the moment and celebrate life. What Nehemiah said to the people, we are going to build up the walls and we are going to repair the gates. This is the thing I like about Peter in Matthew chapter 14, verse 8. He wanted to live life to the full. And when Jesus came walking on the water, the disciples were fearful. But Peter looked out and said, Lord, I see you walking on the water. Let me try it too. Let me taste the miracle of life. That's an interpretation. But what Peter really said was, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. And the Bible says that Jesus said, come. And he took one foot, took it out of the boat and the other foot and started walking on the water. But guess what? When the winds came and the waves started beating upon him, he took his eyes off Jesus. I can tell you something. If you really want to celebrate life and be joyful, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is Jesus the Christ. Nehemiah and the people were not fearful because they knew that God was the joy of their salvation. Finally, don't be afraid to face death. We sometimes talk about being scared to death. But as Christians, we do not have to be. God will see us through even what we call death. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm an old man now. No, I'm not. I'm a young man now. But in my earlier days, I worked at a funeral home while I was in seminary. It was called Scott's Mortuary. I'd always wanted to have access to a funeral home. And Mr. Scott gave me the job. I thought I was not scared until he took me in. I was the only person on the night watch. Y'all missing it. I went to work at 5 o'clock, got off at 10, Everybody was gone by 6 o'clock. All the lights were out except where I was. But I kept hearing noises. The more noise I heard, the closer I got to the door. Mr. Scott told me, he said, when a family comes in, I want you to take them and show them the remains of their loved one. If it's a woman, I want you to just kind of touch her hair. If it's a man, I want you to touch his lapel as if you're taking something off of it. He said, I want you to show a personal reaction to the family. In seminary, I had a room to myself. It was a suite. My roommate left early, and I moved into the suite, and I had a big 21-inch television. You know the big floor models? 21-inch or 20-inch. And I put it up on a desk so I could lay in bed and look at the TV. Well, those televisions, when you cut them off, the light kind of stayed on. I fell asleep, looked up, and there were those two caskets, Miss Ruck and Miss Roach. I saw them all night. That was Tuesday night. Wednesday, I just started Monday. Wednesday, I went back and told Mr. Scott, my lessons are so heavy. My studies are so great, I can't work anymore. So he just said, okay, Mr. Jemison, come back and get your check Friday. Well, I haven't picked up that check yet. We should not fear death. Notice, Nehemiah knew that the God that he served was the joy of his strength. His strength was not in himself. His strength was in the joy of knowing the Lord. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem comes to him and they say to him, come down and talk with us. Meet with us in the land of Ono. O-N-O. Guess what Nehemiah said? We're doing a great work. We cannot come down. Oh, no. We will not meet with the devil. We will not show fear toward the devil. We will celebrate life and the ability to do what God has called us to do. And we will not fear what man can do unto us. 1968. I met a beautiful young lady at Virginia Union University. I wished I was at my old church. I'll tell you how she looked. But since I got to be dignified here, I can't tell you she had a waistline like a Coca-Cola bottle. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you she had hair as wavy as the Atlantic Ocean. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you, well, I'll leave it alone, but she was good looking, Deacon. And she still is. She sure is. Matter of fact, I told the folk on last Sunday that she is the equal in my coffee. Y'all catch that on your way home. She sweetens my coffee. But guess what? Whenever I wanted to see her, she was always busy. And so I asked her for a whole year, Would you like to go to the movie? I'm sorry, but I'm busy. Would you like to go out to dinner? I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I went to the library. I said, hey, young lady, would you like? She said, young man. She said, Jemerson, I am busy. And this is a message for Jada. I am busy. My mother and my father sent me to college to graduate, not to find a husband. From her freshman year to her senior year, she was busy. I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I keep so busy, praising my Jesus. I ain't got time to die. Finally, this is the God truth, she'll tell you. Finally, one day, she was sitting in the cafeteria, and Robert Perry, my friend, and I had just gotten our plates, and I go over to the table, and I say, young lady, it was two of them, said, can we sit here? So she looked up, she said, yes, you can sit there. So we sit down, and we start eating. I said, look, Miss Locke, would you like to go to the Richmond Symphony? She said, yes. I said, what? Here's a boy from Dallas, Texas, from the projects. He know nothing about no. I said, you like to go? She said, yeah, I want to go. I like to go. Well, I had seen some tickets down on the desk at the Student Union building, and it said free. So I ran down, picked up all the tickets, stuffed them in my pocket, went up and said I was able to get two tickets. She looked and she said, okay, well, I said, it's tomorrow night. So we went and we sitting in there playing all the music. And she just rejoicing. And I'm saying, what am I doing here? But guess what? God knows if you fear and you fear death, I feared the death of rejection only to discover that you got to know how to get what you want. Oh, y'all missed that. And sometimes you have to go beyond your comfort zone to get it. Jack and I will celebrate 50 years of marriage on the 28th of March. 50 years. Deacon Johnson, and all my deacons, I've seen some rising and falling. Uh-oh, somebody cleared their throat at me. I guess I better not say what I was getting ready to say. But God has held us together because we trust God. And we celebrate life. And we're not afraid to die. We're not afraid to die because Jesus showed us how to die. And for what purpose to die for. I'm willing to die for the kingdom of God. I'm willing to die for the ministry at Second Baptist. I'm willing to die for Second Baptist because I know that one day when this life is over, I shall be resurrected from the dead because Jesus Christ has declared that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Nehemiah was not afraid to do the work of the kingdom. And I say to Second Baptist, don't be afraid to do the work of the kingdom. The work of the kingdom is feeding the hungry. The work of the kingdom is providing shelter for those who have no shelter. The work of the kingdom is not only feeding the hungry, but clothing the naked. The work of the kingdom is visiting the sick. The work of the kingdom is visiting those who find themselves